Hey, good morning, friends. Here I am, and I am getting ready to preach a message. However, during our Sunday morning service, we actually have some children in children's church, and we're not able to do that today. I know that there's a lot of children, including my own grandchildren, that are watching this on Facebook Live, and so I want to actually speak to the kids as well. So the kids, if you'll just wave at me, say hi, kids. And so I wanted to talk to you just a little bit about my sermon this morning, and it's going to be on temptation. Have you ever been tempted? Have you ever wanted to do something that was wrong? So here we go. I have this from a friend of mine. Does anybody know what this is? Say it out loud. Everybody say it out. Everybody, even in here in the congregation, all 12 of you. All right. What is this? That's right. This is a fishing pole. Now, what do you do with a fishing pole? What do you do? That's right. You fish. Come on, you can talk to me. You can talk to me. You fish with a fishing pole. Now, what do you fish for? Fish. Yeah, everything's all about fish. You use a fishing pole so you can go fishing for fish. Now, on the end of this, there is something that is really, really sharp. Does anybody know? Let me see if I get a little bit closer down here to this people out here. You guys can't see this. That right there. What is that? It's a hook. It is really, really sharp. Now, if I were a fish, and I'm not a fish, but if I were a fish, I would not want to bite that hook. I'm a person, and I don't even want to touch it, because once it gets you, it won't let you go. And so fishermen go out, and they fish for fish, but fish don't want to bite the hook, because if they bite the hook, they'll get caught, and they'll get taken away, and they don't want to get caught. So this is what the smart fishermen do. They put something on the end of the hook, so the fish will bite it. And do you know what this is? It's a lure. A lure. Say lure. It is a lure. It is so pretty. It's green and black and has red eyes. And it's yellow on the bottom. And it even has orange. But you know what else it has? Hooks. There are six hooks in this. And so what happens is a good fisherman will put this on the end of his fishing pole and will throw it out, and the fish will see it, and they'll see the lure. And they'll say, oh, that looks good. That is probably going to taste good, and so I'm going to eat it. And so what happens is when they bite it, they're biting the lure, but all of a sudden, boom, they get caught by the hooks, and they get thrown in the frying pan, and they're done for. Now, the reason why I say this is because there are a lot of things out there that we just shouldn't do. If we get caught doing the wrong kinds of things, we will get in so much trouble. And we don't want to do the wrong things. But sometimes we're tempted. Sometimes it's like a lure that comes along and we say, ooh, I want that. And we grab for it and it gets us in trouble. And that's what Jesus had going for him. Jesus was tempted to do the wrong thing. Even God's son Jesus was tempted to do things that were wrong. And I'm going to read the story here for all of us, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and even the kids. I'm going to read the story of when Jesus was tempted, and we're going to learn some really, really good lessons about how we can fight against temptation. What can we do so that when we're tempted, we don't do it? And let me say this as well. Sometimes temptation is not just doing the wrong things. Sometimes we're tempted not to do the right things. So we want to make sure that we do the right things, the good things that we're supposed to. So the Bible passage is in Luke chapter 4, and we're going to read the story of when Jesus was tempted. Now I'm going to give you a little bit of time. If you want to look it up in your Bible, or if you want to find it, I'm going to read it to you. In our regular church service, those of you that are part of ours, you know that we actually have a video dramatization, but I'm just going to read it for now for this time that we have together. And we're gonna discover something that's really, really interesting about how Jesus fought against the temptations that came his way. And whether or not we're little children, or we're moms and dads, or grandmas and grandpas, or wherever we're at, we are all tempted in a specific area. Now, I might not be tempted in areas that you're tempted, and you might not be tempted in areas that I'm tempted, but we all have a weakness somewhere. It might be money, finances. This time right now, it is really hard on a lot of people with money. Sometimes we might be tempted to do the wrong things with our money or not do the right things with our money. It may be in the area of morality, in our relations with other people, in sex, and we might be tempted in that. We might be tempted with the things that we say. You know, we might say the wrong things or do the wrong things, or talk about people like we shouldn't. For me, when I was growing up, it was anger. I got really, really angry. It would kind of build up, and there were certain people, it seemed like they would just tick me off, and I would get angry, and pretty soon I would say something or I would do something wrong. And I don't know what yours is, but we all have something that we're tempted at, and if we're not careful, we'll get caught and we'll get ourselves in trouble. So let's look and see what Jesus did to help fight temptation. In Luke chapter 4, it says, beginning in verse 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." I think that's interesting that the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness knowing that he would be tempted. We often think that the Holy Spirit leads us to do the right things, and he always does, but sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us into a situation where we may find ourselves in trouble. Our journey in life is no accident. The Holy Spirit, as he leads us, sometimes will lead us in a situation we find ourselves being tempted. It says in verse 2, "Being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So for 40 days he went without eating, and that was to draw him closer to his heavenly Father as he began his ministry, to discover how God wanted him to begin and have his ministry. He spent alone time with his heavenly Father. And while he was there, he was tempted." That Greek word that is used is an interesting word. It's the Greek word perazo, and it's often translated tempted. But in a couple of places, it is actually translated test. Tempt and test. And so we could say that he was tempted. We could also say that he was tested. And it's interesting, whatever situations come into our life, they're both a temptation to do wrong and a test to do right. However our reaction to those situations are, it is either going to make us weaker when we fall to do the wrong things, or it's going to make us stronger when we do the right things. And Jesus obviously made sure he did the right things, and that's what we want to continue, see what he did. Three temptations. It says in verse 3, "And the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. We discover three areas that Jesus was tempted. He was tempted in his physical needs to turn stones into bread. And that was a real temptation because he was hungry. Another temptation was his power. Satan was willing to give him the power to be the king of the world at that time. And we also find out that he was tempted in his pride to fall down from a temple and let God catch you, and everybody will know who you are. So let's just see if we can learn some lessons here. The stones to bread. Jesus was hungry. He had gone for 40 days without eating anything, and he was hungry. Hunger is a natural appetite that we all have. We all get hungry. We eat a little bit, and then we get hungry. It's natural. There's nothing wrong with eating bread. There's nothing wrong with having food. But it was at this time in Jesus' life that God wanted him to go without food. And so this temptation that he had was not to fulfill good desires the wrong way. Eating food was good, but not at this time. Sometimes we are tempted in things that in certain situations, they're okay to do. We could look at them and say, there's nothing wrong with it, but it may be wrong for us at this time. And so sometimes we're tempted to do those wrong things. And I think it's interesting, Jesus quoted a Bible verse, "Man shall not live by bread alone." You see, the nation of Israel had gone into the wilderness, and they were hungry too. And God eventually provided them with, I would call it some kind of supernatural food called manna. And he gave them manna. And what that really taught them was the fact that, you know what? You may go without some of your physical needs, but all you really need is God. You don't need bread, but you need God. If you have God, you have everything else. We may go, even during this time, we may go without some things that we feel are needful things. We may go without something. But you know what? When we have God, we have everything. I love the 23rd Psalm. Begins with this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If I have Jesus, I have everything I need. But there is a tendency that when we don't have the things that we need, there's a tendency for us to think that God's not being fair to us. Everybody else has it. Everybody else is doing it. I should have it. But you know what? We need to realize that, you know what? When God withholds something at times from us that we feel like we need, it's not because God is being mean to us. It's because God wants us to know that he really is all that we need. So that's the first temptation, and Jesus was successful in fighting off Satan. The second temptation was he was supposed to fall down and worship him. Now that sounds kind of crazy to do. Why would God the Son, why would that even be a temptation to him? But picture this, Satan has always wanted people to worship him. He was lifted up in pride, he always wanted people to worship him. And since mankind had fallen in the Garden of Eden, Satan is now the prince of the power of the air. Satan has limited authority in the world, and he was willing to give Jesus the kingdoms of the world. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and he was willing to give it to him right then. And Jesus was promised the kingdoms. He says, I'll give it to you if you just fall down and worship me. If you just worship me, and actually in the Greek, it just means an instantaneous event. You don't have to worship me very long. Just, in a sense, just dip the knee and bow down one time. Just worship me for a second. If you'll just do that for a second, then I will give you everything. And just think about this. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to die. You don't have to go through the agony. You can shortcut this struggle of life if you just fall down one time and do it right now, and I'll give it all to you. You don't have to go through anything. It can be yours now. And that's a real big temptation, not to take the easy way. And this is the lesson for me. Don't take the easy way. Sometimes we look and there's a shortcut. You can steal it more than you can work for it. You can do things the right way, even if it seems like there's a shortcut, but you know, you're kind of cutting the edges and you're not doing exactly right. No, do the right thing all the time, even if it seems like it's going to be more difficult. And so Jesus just said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fall down and worship you because you're only supposed to worship God. Do what God says. And so Jesus fought that temptation as well. And then the third temptation was that he would get up on the temple and he would jump down. And Satan is tricky. Satan actually quoted a Bible verse. He kind of misquoted it. He kind of misinterpreted it. But he says, hey, doesn't the Bible say that if you fall, the angels of God will protect you so that you won't even stub your toe. You won't even kick. And God will take care of you. If you jump down, God's going to take care of you. And this is what's interesting is Satan tempted Jesus when he, in his weakness, he was hungry. And when we're weak, we need to be careful because that's when Satan will tempt us. But he also tempted us in his strength. You see, Jesus had been quoting scripture. He was using scripture as his defense against Satan. And so Satan says, hey, you can quote scripture? I'll quote it. And he quoted scripture passage. You say you trust in God? You know what? Trust in God all the way. Put God to the test. See that God will not protect you and guide you. And if you do it from the temple, in the religious place, everybody's going to say, wow, this is the guy, this is the Messiah. And they will come, and this sensational miracle that you performed, they will believe in you. But Jesus said, no, we're not going to do that. No, we are not going to tempt God. We are not going to put God to this. I'm not going to do anything outside of God's will and then expect God to bail me out. And we do that a lot of times. We do things without talking to God about it. We're tempted to go this way or make this decision or that decision. And then once we get in trouble, then we say, oh God, please help me, bail me out. No, the best thing for us to do is pray about a decision even before we get into that situation. And so Jesus withstood those temptations, but I love what it says at the end of the verse. He did it for a season. Temptations, they come in waves. They'll come in and tempt you, and then they'll go out. They'll come in and tempt you, and then they'll go out. They won't last all the time, and they won't be as intense, but we can withstand the temptations. And there's three lessons from this temptation story about Jesus and how he withstood temptation that we can learn to help us deal with temptation. And the first one is this. The devil tempts all of God's people. No one, including Jesus, is exempt from temptation. You never grow out of it. You never get too spiritually mature that you're not tempted anymore. And as I said, we're all tempted in different ways. So one of the things that I found out is it's real easy for me to look down at somebody else that is tempted in areas that I'm not tempted in and kind of put them down and think that I'm better than them because I don't do that or I haven't done that. But let's just face it. We are all sinners. We all have an area in our life that we're weak in. Now, we may not be a weak in an area that somebody else is, but all of God's people are tempted. And that's why one of the good things that God has commanded us to do is to be together to encourage each other to do the right thing. That's what's so disastrous about this season that we're in the world, is that if we're not careful, we will so pull away from each other. We will hibernate. We will be so far away from each other that we don't get that encouragement from each other. And I am so glad in our day and age we have the technology where we can connect with each other. But everybody is tempted. And so don't think that you're worse than somebody else because you're tempted in areas. No, you're not worse than anybody else. Satan has no favorites. And remember, he wants us all to fail. So God will help you through this. The second lesson I think we can learn what Jesus did, and I think that's great, and that is that scripture is the best weapon against temptation. Jesus, as the Son of God, could have supernaturally just snapped his fingers and said, get out of here, Satan. I don't even want you around here. And Satan would have had to have obeyed him. He could have done some supernatural act. But you know what he did? Jesus chose to use the right method to fight Satan so that we could know how we're supposed to fight Satan. We fight Satan through the Bible. The Bible is the powerful word of God, and that will defeat Satan every time. And that's why we're encouraged to read it. We're encouraged to study it. We're encouraged to hear it taught and preached. We're encouraged to memorize it, to hide it in our heart. If you have an area, that area that you're tempted more than most, the best thing that you can do, and that's what I've done, is to memorize a couple of scripture that will help you during that time. And when you feel that temptation, when you feel that urge, when you feel that pull to do the wrong thing, you can actually quote the scripture. You see, one of the problems we have is a lot of times we're attacked by Satan, we're tempted by Satan, and we don't have any bullets in our gun, so to speak. The best thing for us to do is to hide God's word in our heart so that we will not sin against God. And so take God's word personally and find scriptures, a couple of scriptures, memorize it so that when that temptation comes, you can quote it to yourself. And like Jesus did, you can quote it back at whatever it is that's tempting you. And then the third lesson I think that we can learn, and that is that we don't have to give in to temptation. We don't have to. A lot of times people blame, they say, well, you know, that's just the way I am. I'm a guy. That's what guys do. It's part of my genetics. My dad did it. My grandpa did it. My mom did it. Everybody in my family does it like this, and this is just who I am. This is what I am. Or maybe we have fallen. We have given in to temptation so many times. It's become such a pattern of our life. It is a lifelong habit, and we will never change. Or I've changed, tried to change so many times. I've just given up. No. Temptation can be defeated. It is definitely not easy, but we can defeat temptation. When we yield to God, we ask Him to control us. Because here's what happens. Every time we say yes to temptation, every time we yield to temptation, it weakens our spirit. And every time we say no, I'm going to do the right thing, it strengthens us. And so even though we might feel weak, every time we do the right thing, even every time we fight temptation, it makes us stronger and stronger. I want you to think, and it may be a little bit difficult, but I want you to think of a moment in your life, maybe the last moment in your life, where you were tempted to do the wrong thing and you fell. You blew it. You don't have to share this with anybody. You can just kind of picture it in your mind. And isn't it interesting is you were tempted and you wanted to and you wanted to and you wanted to and you did it. And then you go, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have thought that. I want you to think about that moment and then replay and just think, what should I have done? What should I have done? Should I have run away? Should I have turned this way? Should I have thought about this? And I hope that the next time you're tempted to do the wrong thing, rather than give in, you will do the right thing. Because temptation isn't just an event. Temptation is a series of pulls that comes into our life. And the earlier we can catch the temptation to fight off Satan's bullets, the better we can survive and continue to do the right thing. If you're here listening and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to know that whatever you have done wrong is forgivable. Whatever has happened in your life, you can have during this time, during this stressful time in our country, you can have Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. The best thing to do is, I say it's as easy, simple, not easy, as ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you have done wrong. B, believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again. He is God's Son and He loves you. And C, commit your life to Him. Surrender your life to Him. Give Him everything you have and say, Lord, here I am. And I promise you, if you will admit that you're a sinner, to Jesus, if you will believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will commit your life to Him, as you give your life to Him, He will save your soul. Now, if you're a Christian and you're a believer, I just encourage you to think about those areas in your life, that probably that one area in your life that you are tempted, and just say, Lord, help me. Help me win that battle. The next time that temptation comes, help me at least the next time to get a win. Help me to say no to that, because I do not want to give in and get hooked by what the devil is trying to pull me down under. Finish with a story that I read just this past week. There was a lady with some of her kids, and they were in the visited a zoo. And this particular zoo had a really great lion exhibit. Rather than look from a cage or rather than look from the side, this zoo had made an enclosure and then they built a bridge over top of it so you could actually walk over and look down and see the lions as they were there. And it was really neat. And they said, look, you can actually go into the lion's den. And so as they were there, and this lady had her children, she was taking care of one of her children, and she looked over and saw that one of her children had got between the guardrails, and there was a little bitty space just large enough for that little boy to squeeze through, and he had gotten out on the ledge and was standing on a rock and getting ready to go in, jump down into the lion's den. And she turned around, and her heart was in her throat, and she didn't know what to do. She said, if I scream, the lions will know something is there, and they may come over here. If I yell at him, he's probably going to run, and I can't squeeze through the middle of the gate because it's too little for me. So she knelt down, and as she knelt down, she looked at him, and she says, hey, come give mommy a hug. And the little boy just turned around and ran as fast as he could and gave his mom a big hug. You know, the Bible says that Satan is like a lion, roaming about, roaring, seeking whom he may devour. And we don't know if he's watching us, but when you are in danger, the best thing you can do is run to Jesus. Cling to him. He will protect you. I want to give you an opportunity just to spend a little bit of time in prayer. If you're here and you have never trusted Jesus, would you just simply pray, admit that you're a sinner, tell Jesus that you believe in him, and that you want to commit the rest of your life to Jesus? I would love for you to have a prayer like that in your home right now. And if you are a Christian, just take a little bit of time and pray and ask God to help you in the temptations that are coming your way, to be victorious just like Jesus in the temptations that come your way. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a song that's sung, and during that time, you can just go ahead and spend a little bit of time in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus has won the battle against Satan, and Jesus will help us in our areas of temptation. He did it. He took the full force and the full load of Satan's temptation, and he won. Help us to win in our temptations. And Lord, if there is somebody listening or watching right now that has never personally trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, this would be a great day for them to just spend a little bit of time and surrender their life to Jesus. Help them do that right now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.